Welcome to the October 25th version of the Zuch and Wild podcast. Great slate of action last week we're going to talk about, and we have some great games this week that we're going to talk about. Some playoff eliminators last week that we talked about, and a certain SEC team that might rhyme with Malabama that, let's just say, Zuch, the fan base is not happy in Tuscaloosa right now. That's what we're going to kick it off with. We're going to talk about Alabama, Tennessee, and the big game that happened last week.
Well, honest to God, it kind of reminded me of the Ole Miss LSU game. Like, Alabama had opportunities all in that first half to put it away, and they could not do it. I mean, trying to think about certain drives. In the first quarter, for sure, first half, for sure, Milroe had the interception in the end zone. Mm-hmm. They, you know, forced the turnover on Tennessee, couldn't do anything with it. They just – I don't think they look, like, necessarily bad. I mean, it's – I guess we'll see with Vandy. But, like, Tennessee is a top 10 team, so it's not a bad loss by any stretch of the imagination. But –
it's not a bad loss on paper, but if you watch the game, like, this is a box score game. I look at the box score, I'm like, Jalen Milroe, I mean, he had two interceptions. Cannot happen on the road against a ranked team. But like you said, it doesn't look, you lost by a touchdown to a rival on the road. Yeah, that happens. But if you take into account everything else, storylines, the Vandy loss, the fact that this game, they shut down Tennessee in the first half. It was 7-0. And, you know, at least when I was watching it, I don't know about you, but I just thought it was going to be another, like, man, hypal offense. Like, they figured it out. Like, this is going to be like the Georgia-Alabama game where Bama starts to run away. And it was the complete opposite in the second half. Sampson, the running back for Tennessee, had a solid-ass second half and kind of willed that Tennessee offense, at least. I thought that was a difference maker, was Sampson's performance in the second half, and Alabama just, like you said, not looking bad, but not looking like a top 10 team. That just felt weird to say. Alabama does not look like a top 10 team.
I don't know. Like, the first year I really remember watching college football is about 2002, and basically since then, in games like this, Tennessee has always lost. And here recently, like, granted, Florida's not very good, probably. Alabama's decent. But I think it does say something that Josh Heupel has gotten Tennessee to where they win these games that kind of aren't going their way. Like, I mean, that Florida game really wasn't going their way for the majority of it. This game wasn't going their way. I do think if that keeps happening, though, you run the risk of someone is blowing you out, because you keep doing that, and eventually a team's going to, like, they're a perfect example. Like, and they played South Carolina a couple years ago with a chance to make the playoff. They were 10-1 or whatever it was.
Like, they weren't going to win the SEC East.
Yeah, and they allowed out of nowhere like 63 points to Spencer Rattler in South Carolina. So Tennessee does have to watch that, but they're looking pretty good if you really think
they
about it.
Solid.
Like, they still have Georgia on their schedule.
They control everyone, their own
destiny. That's what we were saying last week when I talked about panic from teams. Now everyone in the conference has a loss. Also, I was spot on. I have to brag about myself. Spot on Georgia winning by 10+ points.
Get to them. We will get to them. But I want to talk about more the Alabama side. We've given Tennessee their props. They really turned it on. That defense looked solid. But Alabama, I'm going to pose a question. First, I'm going to pose a comment. They no longer control their own destiny, at least for the college football playoff or the SEC championship.
They don't have.
So they really.
They don't have the. Out of the two lost SEC teams, let's say, who are they? Off the top of my head, you have Bama, Ole Miss. A&M has one. Georgia has one. Texas has one. So
every team has a loss. Alabama right now in the standings is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eighth behind Vandy because they don't have the head-to-head.
Okay, so realistically, I'm going to pull up the standings too, just so I don't sound like an idiot. So out of the two lost teams, if you look at them, wow, South Carolina is three. I didn't realize that. Like Florida, Arkansas. Florida and Arkansas, you can throw out, I think. They're not making the playoff. They already have three losses.
Our friend Sam Tittman.
I am unfortunately throwing him out. If they had beaten Oklahoma State, which is looking like a very bad loss now,
yeah,
things might be a little really different.
Bad. Also, Zoot, but the not a game that we're going to touch on, but I want to quickly jump in, talk about Oklahoma State. You almost had a perfect weekend. You almost called the random Ollie Gordon 200-yard game for the win. Ollie Gordon did break out this game, but they lost. Very close to going 2-for-2 on your big predictions.
I was watching bits and pieces of that game in between some playoff baseball. I mean, BYU just keeps winning. Not great for my anti not wanting BYU to win. But back to the SEC, if you look at, like, I think Alabama and Ole Miss, for example, are in very different places. Alabama, if you look at their remaining schedule, they're at 15 right now. So if they have Missouri, I guess they do have LSU, but Missouri, LSU, and then their last three are Mercer, Oklahoma, and Auburn, all at best Auburn, and Auburn's bad. Oklahoma at best is mediocre. They look bad, though. So they definitely have to win those Missouri and LSU games, and that could get them back. And I'm not saying SEC championship. I think that is likely gone because you don't have the tiebreaker over Georgia.
Or Tennessee.
I mean, and then you have to hope – you would have to hope everyone had two losses and they were later in the season and you somehow jumped them. Yeah. But even to make the playoff – I don't know that by going 10-2 they would get in.
They don't control their own destiny. They seriously don't, because, I mean, what happens if BYU and Iowa State are both undefeated? Or is that possible? But that eliminates a playoff spot. What if Clemson beats an undefeated Miami? Like, you're not going to leave Miami out, so there's your two ACC teams. Then the SEC only gets, four max in, and that's when you start having to pick straws.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is, they don't – obviously, they can't lose again and have the third loss. But, like, Ole Miss, for example, while they would have to win out, they still have Georgia on their schedule. Mm-hmm. And, Georgia is going to be – unless Georgia drops – I'm trying – let me look up who they play before they play Ole Miss. Georgia just plays Florida before they play Ole Miss. So they have a bye week this weekend. Then they play Florida and then Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, if you're an Ole Miss – you're like, all right, we go 10-2. We beat Georgia. They finish 10-2. You're probably going to get in. I don't know that, like you said, I guess if either BYU or Iowa State's going to have a loss.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Indiana. I guess if BYU, Indiana, Iowa State, Clemson, and Miami all have one loss, then maybe not. But my point being is Ole Miss has the benefit of, all right, Georgia's going to come to town. They beat the surefire number one team in the nation up until Saturday, a couple weeks ago. You beat them. Then Georgia has that second loss. You have the tiebreaker over them. LSU still has, LSU would, I don't know it's how chaos. It would work out. But I don't necessarily know. LSU has A&M, Bama, Florida, Vandy, Oklahoma, so they could lose one of those games.
It's crazy. It's seriously crazy.
So, with the SEC, I really don't – I think Alabama's out of SEC title contention, but I don't 100% know. I mean, we don't know what A&M's going to do. If A&M and Georgia went out, that's who's going.
We'll see.
But,
and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of panic in Tuscaloosa right now, because it's for the first time in a while, holy shit, we don't control our own destiny. And speaking of panic, there was one individual who we have to bring up who might be the greatest fine bomb crash out moment of all time. Was Legends Call strike friggin' two. Lord, like you said, Lord help us if we get to strike friggin' three. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, please go ahead and listen to Legends Call into the Fine Bomb show again. it was just another all-time generational performance that I think perfectly sums up the state of the Tide right now, at least their fan base.
Well, yeah, and it's like we talked about. That is just not a place you go. And even if they did finish 10-2 and didn't make the playoff, that's not a good season. It's kind of like being the manager of the New York Yankees. Like, you can go to Game 7 of the ALCS, and if you lose, it's not a successful season. And fair, like, I think it's fair. I don't, think that the Alabama coach should be held to the same standard as Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. Like, that's just not – you're at Alabama, you have best facilities. You're right there in the best – like, you get the best recruits. Coaches get paid whatever they want, including assistant coaches, all that stuff. So it's a tough gig, and it's not for everybody. So
it is not for everyone. And you see, like, Ryan Williams' stories, like his, like, it is like everything's building up, and it's like a powder keg right now in Tuscaloosa. And if they get a third loss, like, it's going to explode, because that takes them out of the playoffs and everything. So it is what it is. We will see with Bama in time. Tough game against Missouri this week. I think my Missouri playoff pick just looks worse and worse by the day. But so I think they'll handle that.
And Brady Cook's out, running back's out.
Yeah, so it's not looking good.
If they lose that, we will be on strike freaking three, and you have been DFA'd to freaking single A short season, Kalen DeBoer.
Yes, exactly. They'll send him to Tuscaloosa Junior High to get some reps in. Anyways, we're going to move on to the Texas versus Georgia. And I titled this, Kirby's back to his old tricks again, man. He's back to his old tricks again, back against the world. Three things in life are certain: death, taxes, and a back against the wall Kirby Smart kicking the ass of whichever team he has next.
I mean, it was just so obvious, I think, to both of us that it was – I don't know. It was weird to me. Like, you had so many people just
Everyone
kind of –
Everyone was high on Texas. This is quintessential, like, Kirby Smart game, like, come in there and just, like, kill you. That's what it was.
Right. And it was kind of like we said on here. I keep tooting our own horn, but it's true. We said on here, well, has Texas really played anyone? Michigan doesn't look that good. UL Monroe is 5-1, but they beat them. Like, UL Monroe is not very good, I don't think. Texas, San Antonio, Oklahoma looks bad. Mississippi State is probably the worst team in the SEC. Colorado State is bad. So we said it on here, like, all right, Texas hasn't really played anybody, and now you're going in and playing, despite everyone picking Texas for the most part, a very good team, who still has all these good players, whose one loss was
they've had one bad
it's
half.
It's like, I don't know.
They had one bad half.
I guess people like
Alabama and the sloppy Kentucky game, but guys, I mean, you can use this is why we're taught history in schools. You can use the past to learn about the future. This is Georgia. Like, they've played these slump games before, and they show up for these big games against teams not named Alabama.
Right, and like, let's not mistake this. Like, Carson Beck didn't play great by any. He played bad, really. And I'm looking at
that
the
defense.
Box score right
that,
now, and they.
It's
I mean,
that defense showed up.
Yeah, Texas had 29 yards rushing on 27 attempts.
That's
four
crazy.
Turnovers. Like,
mm-hmm. Also, yeah, I mean,
they had.
They literally
Georgia's
broke
Georgia's offense, kind of, but
they broke Texas. Texas, they probably Sark a little bit of a panic move throwing in Manning. I thought you should not have. I thought he should not have thrown in Manning at that moment.
Yeah, that made no
if
sense.
If you were to throw in Manning, I would have done it at the beginning of the second half. To throw him in there before even halftime, total panic call. And now it's like, well, you benched Ewers and then you brought him back. But then you also threw in Manning, who played like shit. So, like, you really just kind of, like, lowered both quarterbacks' confidence in, like, one decision.
Yeah, and you may – I mean
– he might get back on the bottle tonight. He might be polishing off one of these bad boys or something, Sark.
Well, and you can say what you want to, but that's gonna be in the back of his mind now. Like, oh God, if I don't play, you know, great, if I make a couple mistakes, I might get benched again. Like, that's not – you can't do that kind of stuff. You have to – and it's – that whole thing, I mean, I know for a while now people have been saying, like, oh, Manning, and he's been, no, we're waiting. It's Quinn Ewers' team. But when you do something like that, you make it think it's not his team. Like, that's how if I was Quinn Ewers, that's how I would read into it a little bit. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, and we have to, before we do anything, there's a couple, like, Texas, they tried to get back into the game. There was the reversed pass interference after the fans started throwing bottles onto the field, which I thought was kind of funny. Glad no one got hit, but, like, hey, like, they literally just, like, it was out of a movie. Like, they just chucked all the bottles, and the refs were like, yeah, maybe we just decided to change this. Kirby was not happy in that moment. Kirby looked like if he could have elbowed someone in the larynx, one of the refs, I truly think he would have. Like, if he was giving free rein just to put someone in a full Nelson, I think he would have.
Oh, he 100% would have. And that gave him that, like, made Georgia even more motivated when they did that. Yeah. Like, it ended up not being a good thing for Texas. And like I said, they just, like, I know it was, you know, total yards and stuff looked close, but to me, that was, I don't know, that was kind of domination by Georgia to me. Like, I know Texas cut it to, like, a 8-point game at one point, but it never really felt to me like Georgia was not in complete control of that game.
They weren't, and I think that, you mean, you're already thinking of the image that I'm thinking of. It is the, it is our guy, Grant Walter, the Texas fan. Actually, I'm standing with him. I'm not wearing a hat on today's show. The Texas fan that took the internet by storm. I don't know about you, but if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, if you're watching the Georgia Texas game, it was that kid who had the Conway Twitty hair that they showed, just super sad at the very end of the game. That seriously, Zuch, I don't know about you, I started laughing in the moment they showed that, and immediately went to Twitter. Like, I'm talking, like, sometimes these things happen, like, oh yeah, I saw on Twitter right after. It's like, no, I literally got on Twitter, and BCG and Big Cat had already had tweets up.
Yes, because I mean, it was just like the most epitomized, like, Texas. It just really did. And you had, like, the whole thing is just, like, why Texas annoys me. Like, Matthew McConaughey, like, releasing the statement about them throwing the bottles and stuff on the field. I'm like, come on. Like,
they, like, want to be Texas, like, they want to be wild, like, but it's like they're not. Well, like, they are like super uppity.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Texas wants to be the, like, oh, we're Texas. Like, all we care about is, you know, the people from here, blah, blah, blah. And then every time they're, like, in a big game, they have, like, this weekend, they had Joe Rogan, Matthew McConaughey. Like, they're Southern-ish USC, in my opinion.
Whoa.
Texas. They're a little bit better at football, but.
Well, I mean, Sark's already, like I said, keep that guy away from the Waterfront Hotel in Long Beach. So, I mean, we got to keep him away from 6th Street and Austin, Sark.
Yeah.
But shout out our guy Grant. I mean, I think the hair guy Grant, Texas fan, has been playing into it well. Hoping that Texas throws him a bone, maybe gives him something, because that seriously is probably the best still image of the year. I still think in our videos of the year segment we'll have at the Settle Down Awards, which I think is coming up in November or December. Yeah. There is a video that will be shown. I'm not going to show it right now, but there is a video of an LSU fan at a bar. The cheese. That's all I will say. You will have to tune into our award show to figure that out. But yeah, crazy game. Anything else that happened, like, this weekend? USC blew another one. That was super funny. What else?
A bad playoff pick, USC.
Yeah, really bad. Iowa State almost blew it, and they had to come back. Rocco Becht. I was watching that game at a bar, And do you know how many people were just saying, like, Rocco Becht, like, that sounds like the name of, like, someone who, like, a good enough college quarterback who will win the Cotton Bowl and get invited to, like, a 90-man roster for the Seahawks and just have, like, the worst preseason performance of all time.
That or, like, when you're filling out your March Madness bracket and you're like, oh, Tulane State is in here. And then you, like, click on them. And you're like, oh, this guy, Rocco, averages 38 points a game. So maybe I'll pick them in the 13-4 matchup.
It's like he averages 38 points a game. And it's like, what the heck? Sean Livingston is, like, coaching at this small college, like, right now. it'll be like some obscure NBA role player. It's like, how is, like, oh, I guess he's starting his coaching career. Like, this is awesome.
They're 32-4 and have won, like, 19 straight games or something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. They like, ran through the Patriot League or something. But, yeah, no, we'll get into some college basketball in the offseason. You guys know that. But right now, mine is fully locked into football. Zooj, before we move on, again, we're want to remind the listeners, please go check out the Settle Down store. Use code Z&W15. That's Z and sign W15 for all 15% off all Settle Down merch in the Settle Down store. And links in our bio on Instagram. Also link in our YouTube. If you're listening to this on YouTube right now, code is just down below right there. Please use it to get 15% off some cool t-shirts. I have a cool t-shirt. Who doesn't like 15% off t-shirts? Not me. But Sark only wants 15% off drinks. But we're going to move on to another weekly segment, and it is the list, Zooj. Little lighter list this week than last week. I'm sure in the next upcoming weeks with the election, like we said, it will get bigger. But I have I think you went first last week, so I'll go first this week. Or who knows? So this comes from @holdtheline_AU, and AU standing for Auburn University. So Coach Harsin tweeted out something along the lines of one of his classic, hey, it's a great day to, like, attack the day. Let's get after it. You know, when he posts, like, the inspirational stuff in the morning, it's something that had to do with culture, like building culture. And @holdtheline_AU says, what the fuck do you know about culture? Your idea of culture was fucking your assistant when you should have been recruiting, you loser. Unbelievable. I mean, Auburn, these guys are Brian Harsin's still living rent free in Auburn fans' heads right now.
He'll never be forgiven. That will be like it's 80 years from now.
I mean, they it's unbelievable. Like, not to say Brian Harsin did the best job at Auburn, but it's like, holy moly, like, you guys got to focus on this season. Hugh Freeze has got some problems right now. You got Peyton Thorne on my side playing quarterback. You guys got some bigger issues. Actually, that's it, because I'm not going to read this tweet because it'll get us kicked off the air. So, Zooj, you are up. Yeah, that was a.
I have three. First one is Him Riggins.
Him Riggins. Great account.
He tweeted a picture of Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers and just said, and they both just looked like shocked at Georgia being up 3 scores. And it just says, me and my boy nonverbal watching Red Zone after 36 beers on Saturday.
Yes, I saw that all time tweet.
We also had, this guy is illegal shift and then 2-4 in his bio. And his picture is, he's like a wrestling fan, I'm assuming, because Roman Reigns is his profile picture.
Always a great sign that something unhinged is about to happen if you have a wrestling profile pic.
Yeah. He tweeted, Dylan Raiola when it's time to stop cosplaying and beat a ranked team, and it is a man that's laying on the sidewalk having milk poured down his throat.
Yes, and for those who have not seen
World War Champs t-shirt on.
So, for those who have not seen the video, the guy who's getting fed milk is obviously on some sort of substance, an illegal substance, tweaking, I think is what the kids are calling it. So, another great tweet. Saw that one. Just phenomenal.
Hilarious. And then my last one is from, and I have to admit, I follow this person. However, I have to put this one on there. It is how I feel. His name is at Grateful Reb. How I feel after watching Florida put up 48 on Kentucky. And it has a picture of a guy who is what I'm guessing is Guantanamo Bay with like a hood over his face and some type of like sheet over him. And it just has Charlie Weiss Jr. on.
Saw that. Reb, Mr. Reb may have gone a step too far with that tweet. I also saw that. Like I said, the Burnerverse is becoming more popular. We want to show you guys the underbelly of what truly makes it. This is investigative journalism. We are essentially Anderson Cooper and who was the other guy that was like the famous reporter, but then he lied about the helicopter crash. Brian.
Dan Rather. That's
essentially, I don't know. Dan, someone. We are those guys right now. We are just reporting. We are neither supporting nor against. We are just showing you guys, bringing this to the masses right now.
And I do have one more from Dyson Daniels Floater, who is verified. I'm guessing an LSU fan here. And he said, black QB's one thing, but you Hawaiian and Samoan, not going to say the next word, belong in the WWE. Obviously,
top of the list. That is the list. He is on the top of the list. That
and
is someone.
What made it worse is like the replies. Like we have a Tua got all the concussions to meet the WWE criteria to make him an
Oh
Uso.
My god. I mean these. Like I said, when you bring wrestling into it, you just introduce a whole nother fandom of just complete and utter chaos and delusion and unhingedness. But yeah, I saw that. A couple of great list additions. And I'm telling you guys, election week, there is going to be some problems.
Yeah, and it's, a lot of it is going to be because, and we all know it's going to come, they're going to do like, someone's going to start like losing or whatever, like a state that matters. And they're going to show their like fan base, their rally meetup. And they're going to be like looking sad or crying or something. And it is going to be used on Saturday.
I mean, people are still using that one girl from like the 2016 nation, No.
In worst case scenario, and I was thinking about this today, is, should the election not be called on Tuesday night and spreads into Saturday? Because I was curious about this.
No.
So that Saturday, which is why things could get dicey on the Burnerverse, we have Georgia Ole Miss, we have Mississippi State Tennessee, Alabama LSU. I mean, it could.
This is not good. For the love of everything. Great people working the polls in this country, to the great people who vote in this country, please have everything settled by Friday. I am begging you. We do not need the election to be finalized in the third quarter of the LSU Alabama game. I don't want to even think about that because I trust the poll workers. You guys, just please get it done Friday.
Hit it hard. We have a couple of Red Bulls, like do caffeine pills, whatever you need to do, and get the votes counted because we cannot have
guys like Stingray Steve getting updates while he's watching. We cannot have guys like Bunky Perkins getting this updates, live updates.
It will not be good.
That's funny. Well, let's move on to this upcoming games today and tomorrow. Touch up on what we think are some of the biggest ones quickly, as well just quickly rapid fire on a couple other ones. But the big one this week is for top of the SEC, LSU, Texas A&M. This is a funny one because it's like I didn't think these teams would be at top of the SEC at the beginning of the year. I mean, I thought they were going to be fine, but I didn't think they were going to be this good. And is it fair to say that I'm still unsure of what Texas A&M is?
I think that's completely fair. I mean, they lost the Notre Dame game. I mean, I'm still a little bit unsure of Notre Dame, too. Like, I don't.
They got Navy this week, kind of a test.
That's kind of a test. I mean, LSU, they killed Missouri, but other than that, McNeese, Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. I mean, we'll know a lot more about A&M. They have LSU and South Carolina in the next couple of weeks, so they could – they win both of those, and they are –
They are looking good.
They just have New Mexico State, Auburn, Texas. They're probably a playoff lock if they win these next two games, I would think. Because even a loss to Texas probably doesn't eliminate them. So.
No, no way, especially if Notre Dame keeps winning. That doesn't look like a bad loss on their schedule. Unfortunately for them, I think LSU is going to win this game. I think Nussmeier is exactly the quarterback this LSU team needs. I think he is better than expected, in my opinion. I know people down in Baton Rouge would tell me, oh, you weren't buying into the Nussmeier hype. No, I wasn't buying into a quarterback who hadn't played a snap in college football or like a meaningful snap in college football. I don't believe that. But LSU, they look solid. I think I've finally kind of taken, okay, you know what this LSU, I finally put my finger on it. You know what this LSU team reminds me of?
Who's that?
Brian Kelly's Notre Dame teams, where you're like, yeah, I guess they're pretty good, but like, would you take LSU to like beat Georgia right now? It's like, no, but it's like LSU's ranked 7 or 8 in the country. Oh yeah, that's a fair. Yeah. They're totally like deserving of that. That's how I feel. Yeah, I mean, like they're like a Brian Kelly Notre Dame team.
Well, and he's in a weird scenario with this game because they are starting to get that type of hype. Excuse me again. So if they were to lose this game, he's been okay there. Like I think he's gone 9-3 or 10-3 every year. So you have that second loss, and you're kind of. I don't know. Like, I feel like they almost need to make the playoff now for his sake, because if they go 9-3 again, like, you haven't really improved all that much since you've been there. Like, you haven't been – I'm not saying you've been bad or anything like that, but I just want to make sure I'm not wrong on this. So, yeah, 10-4, 10-3. And they've won this Citrus and the Relia Quest Bowl. And they feel like you said, they finished 15-12 the past couple of years. So that's not good enough at LSU. So you lose this one. I don't know where you drop. Like, probably, what are they right now exactly? Are they 8? I think that's what
I think so.
Yeah, you probably drop to like 15-ish, I would think, because A&M's 14. So.
That can't happen again. LSU fans will not allow that to happen again. But I got LSU in this game. I don't know what you got, Zuch, but I trust Nussmeier over whatever quarterback A&M throws out there, whether it's their backing up or Wegman.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up. Jesus Christ, tickets are $232 that game, but it's a 2.5-point spread. I think I'm going to lean honest to God, I think that LSU might win this one and lose to Alabama.
Oh, because you think the hype train will be on and then it'll just...
No, I just putter. Like... I don't like necessarily believe in Alabama, but I think that just none of these teams have like really stood out to me as like, oh, they're going to like run away with... I think they're all kind of at least at top... Let me look to make sure I'm not wrong on this. I need to just leave these tabs open. Do you see a huge difference personally between like A&M, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas? Like any, I mean, you could even if
Georgia,
you want to
throw, I think Georgia's a step above all those teams.
You think, okay, that's fair. So
like
then,
a single step. Like a singular step above those teams.
So you'd put Georgia, and then how closely would you put I'll just do the ranked ones. This is all the ranked SEC teams that aren't Georgia. A&M, LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, Texas, Vandy, Alabama, Ole Miss. I would put all those teams like at least relatively close to each other. Like not as much Vandy. Like I still am a little unsure about them, but the rest of them I'd be like, oh, they could beat anyone other teams I mentioned or lose to any one of them. So.
Especially on the neutral field or if they get home field advantage against those teams. I completely agree. Speaking of Vandy, let's move on to the Texas-Vandy game. I will say you don't trust if Vandy's legit or not. If Vandy wins this game, it's going to be like, oh my God, is Vandy going to the playoff?
Yeah.
And that's a big if. I will say that's a big if because what good teams will do, what the good teams do, the Saban Alabamas, the prime Dabo Clemson, the Kirby Smart Georgias we just saw versus Texas. What the great teams do is when they lose, they take their anger out on the next team they play. This is going to show a lot about what Texas is. And if Texas comes out and drops a 60 burger on these guys, it will be people will be all back on the Texas hype train, yeah. And it'll be like that Georgia loss never happened.
Yeah, it's like in Georgia, it's like the Alabama loss never happened now, mm-hmm. even though we both saw that it did. But Sark is kind of in the same position as Brian Kelly now. Like, I know it's only one loss, but you get that second loss. You really start sweating because they made the playoff and stuff last year. I get it, but it would be what, year four? He's in year four or three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, four. I mean, it's like people with this NIL and how much these coaches get paid and the expectation that you can rebuild your roster every single year. Yeah, he's in year four. So, like, 5-7, 8-5, 12-2. If they end up with three losses this year, which is possible, I don't think it'll happen. I think they might end up with two and probably make the playoff. But if they end up with three losses, 3 out of 4 years, you haven't really done that much. That's not like he would be on the hot seat next year, plain and simple. I don't think he would get fired if they go 9-3.
I don't think they'd fire him with Arch. But then if you said, yeah, if he kind of has two puttering years in a row, I would agree. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, this Vandy team, they're tough. And Diego Pavia is a solid quarterback. And they kind of play that, like, weird, almost like it's the for people who watch New Mexico State, it's like that shotgun offense, a little bit more closer to the old, like, option offense that Coastal Carolina was running with Grayson McCall, and it really is cool to watch. It's like a different style of football, and it's something different. You know, those option teams, when they come to play, it's not like just, we got to defend the drag and the play action and inside zone. It's like, yeah, you're seeing something completely different, and I think it's why the service academies have done so well this year, is because you're seeing a lot of teams who just don't know how to handle it.
No, I agree, and it's Texas really should. Like, I understand Vanderbilt's ranked, but that is unless Vanderbilt goes like 10-2, I guess that's a bad loss if you lose to Vandy and you're Texas, just like it was for Alabama. Everyone said it was a bad loss for them. If Texas wants to be considered one of those type schools, the Bamas, Georgias, Ohio States, losing to Vanderbilt is a bad loss, in my opinion. So I think Texas will probably win by double digits at least, but. I mean, who knows?
Like, I think so, too. I mean, this is what the great teams do. The great teams respond. And if they don't respond, maybe they're a good team, you know? Like, which is, hey, it's fine. I mean, maybe not at Texas, but it's fine. We will see. And Zuch, we have a specialty. We actually get to talk about Boise State without being homers.
Yes.
Because Boise State is in the biggest group of five game. Is it fair to call this the biggest group of five game, at least in the last 5 years, that's happening today?
Off the top of my head, yes, because specifically for Boise State, I don't know that UNLV would get high enough to get a top above four an seed. But Boise State's realistically playing, like, if they went out, they have a very good shot of.
I think if they went out, they're in.
In the top four. If they went out, yeah. If Boise State wins out, they're for sure. And I'm just saying, so they're granted the AP poll or whatever, but
the JP.
I mean, what's that? The JP. Yeah, I mean, if Boise State went out, they have a realistic shot based mostly on the Big 12 of, I don't know, like, I guess we'll see what happens with I guess Kansas State could shoot up there too, but other than BYU, Iowa State, and Kansas State, who none of them look, I mean, Kansas State's lost.
Colorado's got two lots, like, this is what I mean, yeah. The Big 12 looks weird.
So, like, if they went out, if Boise State were to win out and their only loss is a last-second field goal to Oregon, I don't know that any of those schools besides BYU and Iowa State, who are obviously ahead of them, would be that four seed. Because I don't think that either one of those schools are – if it was LSU or Michigan or Miami, whoever it would be, I would be like, yeah, they'll get the four seed. They're Miami. Like, yeah. They'll give it to them. But BYU's like big in certain ways, but I think Boise State is a bigger brand than Iowa State. And I think,
especially with Genty and the hype train behind that too.
So it would be like, oh, you know, they're a four seed. We'll get to see, you know, who plays the 8-9, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they'd be like, oh, the 8 seed is Texas. Like, we'll get to see the Heisman Trophy winner versus Texas. Like, it's a more juicy matchup than Iowa State, Texas. I don't think anyone would be like, oh, yeah, like, I really got to watch this.
By the way, I want to be on record saying if Boise State plays Texas, I'm going to be shitting my britches. I just get nervous. But
I would hope Conway Twitty Jr. was there to.
Oh yeah, Conway Twitty. Yeah, Grant or whatever his name is. Oh, I want to meet that kid so bad. But it's this game's interesting because UNLV, I mean, Hodge Wright Williams. I want to make sure I get his name right. Hodge Malik Williams. He looks pretty solid. He took over for Sluka, and UNLV has like secretly, you know, they had that just weird loss versus Syracuse. That they were in it, and this is a team that could be ranked, and a team that has done enough on paper that if they beat Boise State, they're going to be ranked. People aren't giving, I think, UNLV as much credit as they should just because they don't have a little number in front of their name.
Right. Well, and then a secondary storyline to this, kind of, I mean, not necessarily that I think it would happen, but I was kind of looking through the Mountain West standings, and it's not a foregone conclusion. I think a lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion that these two will play again in the Mountain West championship game.
No.
Which it would be big, like the winner is, I would say, like a 95% chance they host the game. Like that's probably gonna happen. Even if like UNLV, like if Boise State wins and UNLV loses to someone else, UNLV holds a tiebreaker. So they would host the game. But, I mean, like, Colorado State is undefeated in the conference, and I don't think they're great. But you know who else isn't great? New Mexico, Nevada, Wyoming, Fresno State, and Utah State. So it's like, you don't really want to – like, I think they could lose any of those games, but I'm not – like, Colorado State's losses are just – their only losses are Colorado, Texas, and Oregon State. And Oregon State had a bad loss last week, but they're not like.
It's interesting. There's a lot of like stress for like these teams. It's, I mean, for Boise State, it is a, like, you cannot come out flat coming off the bye. That's what I would say. This is the best, because UNLV is going to get up for this game. This is the biggest game, at least in my lifetime, for UNLV football, in the UNLV football program.
Oh, yeah, and it's a launching point. I mean, if they win this one, it's – you're looking like you're – that
now we're in the playoffs. Favorite of, yeah. Like, being and then the you playoffs, can be in the playoffs. So. Yeah. Like, then if Army and Navy lose to Notre Dame, then you got UNLV going, hey, what about us? It's like it's crazy. I don't see – trying to word this. Boise State fans should be nervous. Oh, not because they're not like the top, not that they shouldn't be favored, but like this game this is a game that would not worry anyone if the playoffs weren't on the line. That's the crazy part why I love the 12 team. But I think the key for Boise State in this game is your secondary just has to – I mean, it's like rinse and repeat with Boise State is, can the secondary just do enough?
That
can they just do enough?
Maddox Madsen, and it happened last year too, and it's happened a lot this year. Eventually one of these games where he throws two or three passes to the other team, they're going to get intercepted. Like it hadn't really bitten Boise State too much yet, but UNLV kind of capitalizes on that kind of stuff. Like they, you know,
are their offenses. Their offense is the most legit. What? Like the, it's like the run and shoot, or it's like,
yeah,
some
he calls it the
form
go-go
of the
offense.
Run and, yeah, it's like some, yeah, it's like the go-go offense. No, you're right. Like Maddox, look, he's played pretty well, but he does kind of throw those balls at least once a game that hits someone right in the face mask. It's like, oh my God.
Right. And the Boise State, and it's, they have gotten pressure at times, but we've also seen a couple times this year, mainly that Georgia State game, or Georgia Southern, sorry, a couple times with Oregon, and even a couple times with Hawaii. Like, this quarterback can run, so if they're not setting their edges at all, then it's going to be a, like, they don't not only have to set their edges, but need to get pressure on the quarterback, because we all know that the Boise State secondary has struggled this year, and UNLV has a pretty good little receiver down there playing football, so Ricky White is probably licking his chops right now, I would think.
He is, and flipping it over, if I know we just seem like we shot on Boise State, but we're flipping it over to UNLV. Their defense better be ready, because I don't think they've seen an offensive line in a running attack like they're going to see on Friday. And that's like we can talk about like, oh, Boise State, the defense, like nitpick. Boise State does two pretty important things elitely. They get sacks and they run the ball. Now, some other parts of the game, they don't look their stuff. That's two pretty important stuff. And I was talking with Zach Boyson about this. Obviously, if you guys listen to In the End Zone. It's Settled Down's Pro Football Podcast. But I was watching the college football games with him this last weekend. And he said, what makes this Boise team, I thought it was so profound, what makes this Boise team different is that Ashton Gentry in this offensive line is so good, it gives them like almost like an extra like layer of protection into being into getting upset and beat. Because even if everything else is going wrong, like offensive line can still kick ass, and Ashton Gentry can still kick ass. Even if everything else is going wrong. I mean, we saw that happen in the Georgia Southern game. Literally everything else was going wrong. And that, like, those two things willed in the victory.
Right. And I do think it's going to – the last thing I'll say on this is if Boise State can keep doing that, they should win. But I am interested to see, because they really haven't – I mean, I know they've trailed Oregon and they trailed Georgia Southern by one score. Like, they led Oregon most of that game, and then – it was kind of back and forth in the fourth quarter. But I'll be interested to see how Boise State handles if UNLV goes up like 14 to nothing, 17 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three scores, but not two or three. You know, I'm not talking like 21 nothing where it's like, all right, like now we really got to score like and throw the ball every play. But enough to where it's like, okay, well, we can't, you know, hand it off to Ashton Gentry the whole drive, not as much because it wouldn't work and you would score, but you wouldn't have the time and you can't rely on that. Like, we're not a team that's built on, all right, we're going to really, really rely on this defense to, like, every decent offense they've played this year, they've allowed at least 20 points. So they're not a shutdown defense. Like, I think parts of it are good. I think the defensive line is pretty good. But you're not going to win a game 17-14. So it'll be interesting to see if UNLV, like I said, goes up 21-7 or something like that, how the offensive game plan, and if, like you said, that layer of protection, you can't really use it as much in that scenario because
it'll be interesting.
Games just go faster. Like, they don't stop after first down until the last 2 minutes of that each half. And no, like, another thing is those really, I mean, kind of coming into the season, people thought the receivers were going to, like, really, really stand out, and only Cameron Kamper has stood out.
It's Cameron Kamper and, surprisingly, Austin Bolt. Out of nowhere. Like, who would have thought that? Like, those are really the only two. And, you know, I think Austin Bolt does a lot of things well, but, like, separation is maybe, like, I think he has, like, good top-line speed and hands and wingspan, but it really has been now Chris Marshall has been hurt, and they have used Louder, their tight end, as essentially their wide receiver too. But it'll definitely be interesting to see. I'm excited. Before we get to our meme matchup, Zuch, we need a statement for the Settle Down Bowl, a quick statement. I'm calling it the Pooh Bowl. Ole Miss versus Oklahoma. What do you have to say?
This is Sooner Nation,
to Team Voicin'. What is your statement?
This is going to be at the launching pad for two things. It is the launching pad for Ole Miss to finish 10-2 and make the playoff. And I don't know if you could call it the beginning of the end for Brent Venables, but I feel pretty confident in saying that with Missouri, Alabama, and LSU still on their schedule after this game, Brent Venables, and they already fired their offensive coordinator, actually, but there will be more major shakeups on that Oklahoma staff and quarterback. Like, I don't know if either one of those quarterbacks is going to be back next year. And I'm willing to say that Brent Venables, if he's not let go, is on the hottest seat in the country going into next year. Because they could seriously end up with four more losses. They have 5-7.
That does not look good if you're Oklahoma. That does not look good. And I'm looking, so I texted Cody for a similar statement, and this is what he had to say. Fucked. Disappointment awaits. That was it. That was the statement that he sent. So Sooner Nation feeling down in the dumps. And if they lose, we will keep them there. Zuch, you are going to be having to film like you did last year during the Oklahoma State Oklahoma game. So please, if you can catch Cody, I don't know if you're going to be watching the game with him, but we're going to need some vids. It'll be fun.
I'm trying to get him to come over for the game. He hasn't responded to me yet. I know it's a 10 a.m. kickoff, and he is a known surfer of TikTok until about 5:30 in the morning. So we'll see.
We will see. He might be able to watch the game from TikTok. Who knows? All right. So our last segment of the day, of this episode, is going to be the meme matchup of the week. We do this every week where we choose the funniest matchup. I know I went first on this last week. So Zuch, what is your meme matchup of the week?
Mine is the Vandy Texas game. It's just, like, hilarious in so many ways. Vandy's ranked. You have the whole QB situation thing going down in Texas. It's just, if somehow Vanderbilt pulled that off, I think my college football season would be made. Boise State could lose out. Ole Miss could lose out.
Yeah. No, like you said, our friend Grant would not be too happy for that, but that would be crazy. Okay, also, is it true that Vandy is putting up a net, or is that something false I saw online?
I didn't even see that, but I hope it's true because it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, in response to Texas fans throwing stuff, I think it's false. I don't want to spew fake information, so please, everyone, go fact check me on that, but that would be funny if they put in a temporary net. So my meme matchup is... And in my notes, I have it as all reliable. Iowa Northwestern. I think last year it was my meme matchup when they played. this year as my meme matchup. And the best part about the Iowa-Northwestern game is just being a complete sicko pervert and throwing on the over. Just and yeah, I think the over set at 37.5, and you just hope and pray because there ain't no way that thing's hitting, but it's just going to be fun. And what makes this even more disgusting, this game, is that sometimes like one of these teams are ranked. Nope. Iowa 4-3, Northwestern 3-4. This is going to be some brutal football to watch, and I can't wait.
I just have – I mean, I know if you went to school there, it's one thing, but I have trouble – like, I cannot imagine watching that game, like, of your own accord, unless you, like, had to cover it or
it's gross.
Also, it's gross. I almost went with this. Okay, we'll do it right now. I'll write it down. Yes, will you hand me a pen? Same night as the World Series Game 1, Yankees-Dodgers. Rutgers is playing USC in the Coliseum.
Yes, that's happening today. I mean, I know we are recording on Tuesday, but by the time this is being released, this is happening today.
Give me... So, obviously, Yankees and Dodgers is going to be a sellout. Yeah. We all know that. Over, under on the amount of fans at this Rutgers-USC game.
Okay.
Rutgers-USC starts at 9 p.m. I want to say...
9 p.m. So, it starts at 8 p.m. my time.
No, though. It's in USC. So, it's at USC. So, it will be... Yeah. You're right.
So,
8-year time.
So, I have an interesting perspective on this. How many people do I think are going to be at the game?
Yes.
So I have an interesting perspective on this because I, for those of you who don't know, I live in LA. I'm not from here, but this is where I live. So Dodger Stadium, if for people who want to put into consideration, distance-wise, isn't very long from where the Coliseum plays. However, you have to drive all through downtown. So that distance, you know, with no traffic, it can be 20 minutes. That drive can take an hour, 20 minutes sometimes. People down here love their Dodgers. And it being Rutgers and it being unranked, I definitely think there are going to be less people at the USC game than the Dodger game. And the Dodger Stadium, I think, holds 50,000 people. I want to say it's one of the bigger MLB stadiums. So 50-something thousand people, Zuch.
I bet there is
going to be sub 30,000 people in the Coliseum.
Okay, sub 30,000. I went way lower. I put 9,432.
No way. I think that number's gonna be like 27,000.
27. Okay.
LA's a lot, and you know you got to think there's some USC fans who aren't Dodger fans. You got to think there's gonna be people because those tickets are gonna be so effing cheap, dude. Like I already that saw, is... like you can get like pretty good tickets for like $60. Like,
and we have another
$200.
We have another interesting tidbit to add to this. The Suns play at the Lakers same night at 8 p.m.
I mean, okay, so that is going to be literally like those stadiums are, if you look at it on the map, almost like on like in a line. That's like the Orion's Belt. Oh my gosh. I know I'm staying the hell away from that side of LA. I'm staying west of the 405, man.
And then the last thing, and then we'll wrap this up just because it's hilarious to me. Out of those three games I just mentioned, and you know what? I'll go ahead and see, too, if – actually, no, they wouldn't be playing because they play in the same arena. The Kings aren't playing. Take a guess at the ticket prices for those three games. So you have Suns at Lakers, Yankees at Dodgers, and a World Series game.
And so are we going just – so get-in price is what we're going to. So
the price that ESPN shows me.
So Dodgers and Yankees, I'm going to go $1,100.
Okay.
Suns, Lakers, I'm going to go $85 or $90. USC, I'm going to go $17.
You actually really, really close. So the Suns Lakers is $82 on ESPN. Go. The Yankees Dodgers is $879. Not USC bad. Rutgers is $11.
I know my sports down here, man. Oh, man. Also, $11. I mean, you can't beat that if you're a guy. But I don't know. My thing is like, like there's so much crossover with USC and Dodgers, man. And like USC is really bad this year. And like the Dodgers are like, this is the biggest World Series in at least 4 or 5 years. Yeah. No, I still think. Okay, so you think there's going to be, this is the last thing I'll still say. You think there's going to be less than 20,000 people at the game?
I think so.
I think there's going to be more than 20. There's a lot of people in LA.
There, I mean, I wonder if there's any concerts.
Are the Clippers playing that night too?
Ooh, I didn't even think about the Clippers.
Because they play in a different arena.
So, Friday night. The Clippers do not look like they play now. So you can eliminate them. I'm trying to see on Ticketmaster if there's any good concerts that I would think there's probably a million good concerts on October 25th for.
Yeah, it's also Halloween weekend.
That is true. Fallout Boy's coming. War.
This weekend?
Yeah. Wale will be there.
Where?
Fallout Boy. At the Garden Amphitheater. I guess it's Garden Grove, California.
The Garden Amphitheater?
So, yeah. It will. Yeah, I'll raise it. I'll go less than... No, I'll keep it. I'll say 15,000.
Fall Out Boy's playing at the Garden Amphitheater?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, but they've fallen off. That doesn't look very big. That looks way smaller than I would have thought. That is like 5,000 people. That's not brutal. Good. Fall Out Boy.
And G-Eazy is there.
Oh, you couldn't pay me to watch that guy. And he's from the Bay Area. Fun fact about G-Eazy, he got booed more than the mayor of Oakland on the Warriors 2017-18 parade. Crazy.
When you get booed more than a politician, things are bad. And I'll end on that.
Especially in your hometown, too. But thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, please make sure to like and subscribe. It means a lot. Make sure, show your friends. Tell them to like and subscribe, and thank you, whether you're listening to the podcast, whether you're watching on the clips, whether you're doing everything and all of the above. You are all great, and the reason why we do it. So without that being said, Zuch, anything else for us?
Nothing else. Enjoy the weekend. Have fun with your friends, because everyone's about to go stir crazy starting next week, because we are a week out from an election, and the vibes are already starting to change. You can just tell that people aren't as nice in traffic. Like,
nope, the vibes are changing. People are starting to get tight. So just make sure to enjoy and stay loose, baby. Stay loose. And we will see you all next week. Thank you for listening.